That we are going to present must be the path through which our integral yoga should progress. The first is, we are given this freedom for the service of the world. And you always remember that a true leader is not the prime minister or a chief minister or a scientist, but someone who takes up the burden by self-choice. You understand the word self-choice? When Gandhi decided that he would fight for the freedom of India, it was his choice. And it was a single man's choice at first. And then it became a collectivity. But not of the entire nation, but a few people. But they changed the face of India. This we should remember, that the freedom that we have been given, we didn't win over it. It should be used in the service of the world. This must be our first guiding principle. Next, there must be a final revolt. These are the words of Sri Aurobindo himself. It is not a revolt against the British government, which anyone can easily do. It is in fact a revolt against the whole universal nature. So it is the revolution for which we are trying. And when we say the British there, it only means materialistic aspect. We are not talking about any particular land or people. So this is the revolt to which you should be prepared, to serve the world. You should revolt with your nature. And your nature now is made up of three bodies: the mental body, the vital body, and the physical body. And you have to revolt against them. And a revolt means revolt. A revolt is not an easy thing. It should be, always remember the operating word, integral revolt. It should not be a partial revolt, an intellectual revolt, or a vital revolt, or a physical revolt, but it should be a three-in-one revolt. Next, we have the five dreams. And I would ask all of you to read it daily, because what is a dream in a scientist's brain becomes a reality later. And this dream is not of a scientist, but one who has achieved truth consciousness. So what does it mean? It means that the truth is in the dream. But they are a dream because they have not yet happened. And for its happening, it is we have to do it. It is the people who should help for the dream. So when Sri Aurobindo speaks about our world service, it should be in any one field of these five dreams. But when you say it is in any one field, again it is not integral. So what it should be? It should be a totality, an integral approach to the five dreams. So the first of these dreams was a revolutionary movement, but he was not happy with the result. We have been divided into two parts. Naturally, if what Sri Aurobindo has wrote here is there in the truth consciousness, it has to be like that. Because we have a lower knowledge and a higher knowledge. The lower knowledge goes for division. The higher knowledge goes for synthesis. So if few people who can understand the Vijnanamaya Kosha and Anandamaya Kosha together, that is what Sri Aurobindo says as the subtle body and the causal body. The Manomaya Kosha is the subtle body which uses the lower bodies, the Annamaya and Pranamaya, then it is the lower mind. If the mental body uses the higher koshas, especially the Vijnanamaya and Anandamaya, it becomes the higher knowledge. So if a group of people can achieve that higher knowledge, this partition will go. But there is a warning here. The partition must go, unity must and be achieved. It is not that India should dominate another world. Again, it is not a unity. You understand what a unity is? We will come today to the unity of the spirit. But what Sri Aurobindo stresses is, until and unless our higher mind's approach is, until this is achieved, for it is necessary for the greatness of India's future, where is specifically on the eve of our independence, he gave this message. So let us not forget it. It is one of our burdens. If you cannot fulfill the dreams of your ideal, then what you are for? And he is very specific in it. He is not talking about something colonized or individualized, that we are Indians, therefore India should dominate the world. He is saying that the unity must dominate the world. Vasudheka Kutumbakam. That is the spirit he meant here. And India reached that stage 5000 years ago. You also remember that it is a recoil. And when there is a recoil, the memory is enough. This is a hint that you should take a very serious study of Patanjali Yoga Sutras. Because yoga and all yoga is Chitta Vritti Nirodha. And what are the Chitta Vrittis? There are five in nature. The right knowledge, the wrong knowledge, the hallucinations, the sleep, and then smriti. Nashto mohaha smriti rilabhva. To get back your memory, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to read and practice and do sadhana? What you are supposed to do is to get it back. You should get back your memory. And what is the best way to get back the memory? The best way is to keep still and let the memory come out of yourself. Next. The second dream was for the resurgence and liberation of the peoples of Asia. And now, what Sri Aurobindo means by Asia? That is very important. You think in those lines. The second dream is, it is the Asia which should come up. If you want to do something, it is first the idea must go into the brain. And then only you can do it. Then, the third dream was a world union among the outer basis of a fairer, brighter and nobler life of all mankind. This is also, as you said, in the UNO. But the UNO military only should be there, and all other countries should not have to spend even a paisa for their military, police or judicial systems. That is another goal. Do you know, one day what America spends for its military survival or something, what you say, you can build a 2000 bed hospital and maintain it for 20 years. And you are wasting that money on military. And what are we supposed to be, intellectuals? Can't we, all the presidents of the world, come together and say, one military is enough. We will send it to different parts, whereas just as if in India, in a particular state, something happens, what do? The military comes from the center. Every state will not have a separate military. But this thinking process you should develop. Because somebody has to think this first. And this is the dream. And here too India has begun to play a prominent part. As using the past tense there. Next. The fourth dream, the spiritual gift of India to the world has already begun and it is being now continued. But we are not really active as we should be active. That is what we should remember. Divine must come first, the divine will must come first, and our personal latter. But what is happening? Our personal jobs, our personal viewpoints, our personal responsibilities come first. And then if you have time, you come here. It should not be like that. It should be as if you are working as a subordinate for the masters. And remember that any revolution is self-chosen. Nobody can put you and say that you will be responsible. If you don't come, you will be taken to task. No. Nobody is going to take you to task. You have to decide yourself. And now the fifth dream was a step in the evolution which would raise man to a higher and larger consciousness. This is what the five dreams of Sri Aurobindo are. So I would advise all of you to read it regularly because they have come from a man who used it from truth consciousness. And truth consciousness means it will grip you if you allow you to grip it. But allowing it must be from your side, not from that side. Just as I said, if you want the electricity to give you a shock and mould you, you should not wear rubber gloves. If you wear a rubber gloves, no much any voltage, nothing will happen. So next. Now let us understand who Mother is. Mother is the story of prayer. So this is given in here. Mother's agenda in the introduction. Mother is the story of free earth. Free from its spiritual and scientific parents. You understand this word parents. Whatever we are talking about in scientific jargon or in spiritual jargon, both are jargons. Just because a scientist speaks something in his which we cannot understand language, it doesn't mean that he knows anything. Because in 1925, a scientist said that quantum physics is difficult to understand. In 1965, a Nobel Prize winner said, nobody understands quantum chemistry. That is the evolution. So that's the danger. Let us be careful. Is it a parrot-like reptile? Or are we remolding ourselves so that the higher force can transform us? There is nothing more persistent than those particular parrots. Very important. That is what I am telling. Because if you are really what you know and you understand, you should understand that the knowledge you get should be utilized in the world. A little engineering college is there, you become an engineer, and then what happens? The engineer goes out. And that engineering knowledge is used for the world. A doctor in a medical college gets his degree in medicine. And where does it use it? In the world. And if the knowledge that the ashrams are supposed to give, and remember, ashram means a place where you need not labor, no shrama. Shrama, ashrama. So you should know the art of living without any labor. That's why I took this quotation. Mother is the story of the free earth. And this concept of free earth is nothing new to us. In our Puranas, whenever the Asuras or Rakshasas or Pisachas dominate, the mother goes there to the higher planes. The mother means Mother Earth. Literally we read it. She goes there and it is a literal fact, you remember that. And what happens? The truth conscious says, yes, at the opportune time, I will deliver you. And what is the opportune time? We won't decide. He decides. And when he says the time is right, and after India's independence of 60 years time going away, so what we are supposed to do is a Shasti Purti Utsava. Is it what is known as? And what is it we achieve? After knowing his dreams and knowing the mother consciousness and Sri Aurobindo consciousness. So what I am trying to do is, I am not criticizing. Make more sincere efforts. A very sincere effort is, if you don't do the sincere effort, somebody else will do. When Arjuna said, I will not fight, very casually Sri Krishna said, Yade Chasita Bhaguru. In the field of battle itself, he said, if you don't want to fight, don't fight. But because you are Priyosine, Sakhesine, because I love you, because I am your friend, because from thousands of years in the evolutionary plan, we are being molded by these two personalities who are infinite in their nature. That is where we should show our gratefulness to them. Now at this last moment, when the final onslaught is going on, you see the newspapers and you will understand it. The final onslaught of the Asuri Pravritti, the Paishachika Pravritti, the Rakshasa Pravritti is everywhere. You just open the page, you see it. And what more proof you want that the time is ripe, you are ready to fight, and if you don't fight? Pandits say, just for a casual question, if Arjuna really did not fight in the end, what would have happened? An interesting question, because Sri Krishna said, okay, you are supposed to fight, you have been trained for that, I was with you throughout these lives. Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacha Arjuna. So it is your duty to be with me and fight. And suppose what would have happened if Arjuna, because of his own ignorance, because of his own limitations, because of the lack of purity and concentration and renunciation. We are going to use these three words. Purity, concentration and renunciation in our Chaitya Purusha. And also in our central being. And also in our souls.
we should understand the difference between the three: Jivatma, the soul, and the Chaitya Purusha. And suppose because of some defects there, Arjuna did not fight, then what would happen? There were, the pandits say, 5 people ready to take his place, because he knows our own weaknesses and our own abilities. So he always loves us. Even we revolt, and if we don't surrender also, he loves us. But his plans will not change. And now it is an open challenge that I tell to all people wherever I go. Can you understand the challenge? Do you think that your own organization is the central pivot? If you think like that, ego. The ego must be annihilated. Then what you are supposed to do? See the world and see how the 5 dreams of Sri Aurobindo are taking shape in the cauldron of burning desires, burning thoughts, and burning actions. Next. This is most important. If you want to change the conditions, without changing the consciousness, it is impossible. That is where we fail. It is not our misunderstanding of what they say, but we are not taking the real work we have to do to change our consciousness. An engineer develops an engineering consciousness after 5 years of hard study, a regular study. He goes to the college, comes back, reads, studies, goes to the college, comes back, reads, studies, and then gives examination. And every problem in your life where your ego is obstructing is an examination. Don't run away from the examination. Take up the challenge. Be where you are. But are you facing it as an examination or as a means of closing our eyes and coming back? 90% times it happens like that. Let it not happen this time. Face the examination. And then how can your consciousness change? By reading. How can you become an engineer? By reading engineering books. How your consciousness becomes the consciousness of a doctor? By reading the medical books and then keeping it here and acting according to it. Why homeopathy is not developing, even though I am sure that it is better than allopathy? Because when a patient comes, then the doctor opens the book and sees. It is not here. Though it is a better system of medicine, the practitioner is not a better doctor, because he has not taken the trouble to keep that knowledge here. The Ayurveda is facing also the same fate. It is not here. And we also are having the same fate because this book is not here. It should be here. And we should have the correct explanations, the correct understandings. Right? Next. Now we go to the last chapters, Hatha Yoga and Raja Yoga. Those who have the book, you can go to the last chapter. And now let me give you a clue in a spiritual understanding. And understanding, I am using that word as Sri Aurobindo used. Later I will tell you what understanding is, what buddhi is. To change the evolution, to change the consciousness, what was the advice given by Narada to Ratnakara? He said, have a aim of Rama. Just parrot-like repetition of Rama, Rama was not intended. It was a mantra. Mantra means mananat trayate.
when you go on mulling over it, musing over it, thinking over it, then that mantra gives you the result. And Ratnakar couldn't use that word Rama. Then what he was advised? Reverse it. In all these texts also, when you don't understand it, start from the reverse. You remember this clue. Always, and now you will see how easy it becomes to understand the Jnana Yoga when you start from the back chapters. The Raja Yoga and Hatha Yoga and Samadhi are the last three chapters. And now I am going to touch them first and see what happens when you touch the first chapters in the reverse order. Right? Now, the warning. It seems that the whole integral yoga is full of warnings. What is the warning? On the whole, for an integral yoga, the special methods of Raja Yoga and Hatha Yoga may be useful at times in certain stages of progress. This is what you should understand, that you are not supposed to practice Hatha Yoga and Raja Yoga, which are meant for the development of Annamaya Purusha and Pranamaya Purusha, or our physical body and vital body. Because very clearly we know that these two bodies have been completely perfected. For the yoga of perfection for Annamaya Kosha or Pranamaya Kosha is not necessary. But what is necessary is, you should know when to use it and when not to use it. That is where we make the mistake. We just forget that they are to be used. They are a tool. That is the only perfected part in our body. These two are perfect. So if you want to have a perfect yoga, you should start with the perfect instruments. Is it not? But we start with the perfect instruments, not to perfect these instruments. Because they are already perfect. Then what you are supposed to do? You have to perfect the Manomaya Purusha, which is developing. The Manomaya Purusha has not yet developed. It has four levels which have to develop. We have not yet reached the higher mind. We have to reach the illumined mind. We have to reach the intuitive mind. And then we have to reach the over mind. Then only you can go to the super mind. And when you say super mind, if you take the Sanskrit word, it becomes very easy for us. These are the Manomaya Kosha planes, and supermind is Vijnanamaya Kosha. So when you use Vijnanamaya Kosha, the confusion will not be there. Because when you use supermind, automatically the word mind makes you think of Manomaya Purusha, whereas super itself means it is beyond mind. So for us, as Sri Aurobindo has advised, let us use the technical Sanskrit words. So before you reach the Vijnanamaya Kosha, you have to perfect the Manomaya Kosha. And to perfect the Manomaya Kosha, you use the already perfected natural Annamaya and Pranamaya bodies you have in you by the Hatha Yoga technique and the Raja Yoga technique. Are we doing it? That is what we have to question. That is what he says. It may be useful at times because many of the practices we are doing are not meant to develop the mind. All the yogic practices, the Hatha Yoga practices, are asanas and pranayamas. The asanas and pranayamas which are now being practiced and advertised, do you think they are developing your mind? Is the mind taking any active part in those asanas and pranayamas? No. You are doing it mechanically. You need not do it because mechanical doing is for perfection. Abhyasa is mechanical doing. A repetition of the same thing, time and again, you will become perfect. So you need not practice asanas, abhyasa. You need not practice pranayama, but you have to practice it for the development of the mental body. Because they are the only two perfect instruments you have. How can a defective body help in the growth of a defective body to become perfect?
So that is the role what Hatha Yoga and Raja Yoga has to play in integral yoga. So you can underline those things. Useful at times in the certain stages of progress, but are not indispensable. And when he says they are not indispensable, that doesn't mean that you do not need it. It only means that even if they are not there, you can progress. But what is the harm in having a perfect tool instead of throwing that away? Because nature has given, you are in the body and in the pranamaya kosha. You just can't say, no, I don't want it. Even if you don't want it, you are in the body and you are in the vital body. Next. Right. In science, when you want to develop an instrument, a perfect instrument, what do we do? Suppose you want to have an instrument made of iron, a new instrument, which was not already in the world. You are understanding the question, no? You want to have a new instrument. You want to perfect a new instrument in the material world, in the field of science, made up of iron. So what you are supposed to do? First you have to get iron. Where do you get iron? From the mines. Do you get the pure iron from there? No. So what do you get? The first is purification. So if you want to do some work with iron, so that you can have an apparatus or a machine made up of iron, first you should have pure iron. So the first stage of any yoga is purity of the instrument. And when Sri Aurobindo says that the Annamaya and the vital bodies are already perfect, it means they are already pure. They are already pure, remember it. This is what we forget. Our Annamaya Purusha and our Pranamaya Purusha are perfect, not ours, the entire humanity is perfect. Nature has already achieved it, but you have to be aware of it. And then, what you are supposed to do? You remember about the machine I am talking about, which is made up of iron. So what should the iron must become now? It should become fluidic. The pure iron cannot be a solid iron. It should be a molten iron. And once the molten iron is there, you have the necessary background to have your machine. But that machine from the molten iron can come only when you have the mold. If you have, so the molten iron has to be molded into the pattern of the new machine which never existed before in the material world. So, the molten iron you have for a new instrument made up of that substance, but it is still not there. Is it clear? In the material level I am explaining you. Then the molten iron must be poured into a mould. That mould is concentration. You concentrate on a particular topic. Is it not? So what happens? Just as the molten iron when moulded or poured into the mould, that is a concentrated form. Then you wait for some time. What happens? You get the new apparatus. So this is the exact process you have to do with your mind also. So what is it? The first thing is, your mind must be purified. Just as the mineral which was in the earth has been separated from the impurities and you have got the pure iron, in the same way, you should have a pure thought. The pure thought you can have. A pure thought which is beyond your vital desires, which is beyond your annamaya defects, and which is also beyond your egoistic thoughts. You have to purify your thoughts of all these three. That is where the samadhi also comes. Next chapter, but let me finish this Hatha Yoga and Raja Yoga first. Raja Yoga deals with mind. I am talking about the mind. So while we are reading all these, three things should not hamper us. First is your material mind giving it a material color. How? If you are a Hindu, when you say God, you have a material mind. Your God is different from Allah. No doubt about it. Even though your lips say, we see one. So what is there? The material mind is obstructing you. Just put it aside. And then you have a vital mind. The God is there, but for me Rama is good. Krishna is not good. For me Kali is good. So the desire mind, the personality mind, obstructs. The thought is there, God. The material mind, broad sex. The vital mind, personal God. And then we have the thought about God, the idea about God. Each one of us, even though we use the word God, your thoughts about God are certainly different. The number of thoughts which revolve about the word God is different for each one of us. And that difference is because of the ego. So, for the mind to be molded to become a perfect instrument, you should be beyond the Annamaya Purusha, the Pranamaya Purusha, the Manomaya Purusha, which in total is known as the psychic being. And that is not enough. You have to go beyond it, beyond the ego also. And how can you do it? By samadhi. If you are in samadhi, you are beyond all these three states. That is why very specifically Sri Aurobindo mentions that samadhi cannot be a part of integral yoga. Because in samadhi, when you come out of the samadhi, your Chaitya Purusha also comes out. In samadhi you are free from all these things. You are in what we call trance. But okay, if you are in the trance, it's good. But if you want to use the lower principles, you have to come out of the samadhi. And if you come out of the samadhi, again the defects come. But very specifically, Sri Aurobindo advises that you should use samadhi also. But just before going into the samadhi, you go to next slide. Next slide. Next. 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 Go to the last. Go on. This one. You understood what I meant by the Hatha Yoga and Raja Yoga and why I have crossed all those things? You have already perfected it. I have told you how to. You should use it. You should use it to purify your thoughts in three levels. Nishkama Karma, equality in all places, Samatvam, and then expertise in actions. But even though you are an expert in actions, you should not be egoic. This we have already discussed. And now, how to utilize Hatha Yoga and Raja Yoga? Asana is used by the Raja Yoga only in its earliest and most natural position, that naturally taken by the body when seated and gathered together. But with the back and head strictly erect and in a straight line, so that there may be no deflection of the spinal cord. This is what we have to practice.
So wherever and whenever you sit straight. And try to sit in a chair which has no back. So the best sitting is to sit in a stool. Or better still, you sit on the ground in Padmasana. The object of the latter rule is obviously connected with the theory of the six chakras and the circulation of the vital energy between the Mooladhara and the Brahmarandra. And this I have already mentioned to you, that these five dreams of Aurobindo are based on the five chakras of ours in the lower nature, from Mooladhara to Vishuddhi. And this you can practice by just sitting in Padmasana. Samam kaya shiro grivam dharayan achalam sthiraha samprekhya nasikagram sam disascha navalokayan. This is the asana and pranayama you are supposed to do. That's all. You have to do nothing else. The most important thing is the spine must be erect. But just keeping the spine erect and not knowing where you are supposed to have your consciousness. The Annamaya Purusha consciousness is in the Mooladhara. The Pranamaya consciousness is in Swadhisthana. The lower mind consciousness is in the Manipuraka. The higher mind consciousness is in the Anahata. And the over mind consciousness is in the Vishuddhi. So when you are sitting like this, you should be aware for every moment of your awareness what consciousness you are using. At present, what consciousness we are using? We are trying to utilize the illumined consciousness so that we can intuit. And where does the illumination come from? From these words. These words illumine our mind so that we can intuit the truth. You are understanding what I am trying to tell you? So this awareness of levels of consciousness, that is what Mother said. Your evolution depends on it, what level of consciousness you are. And where is our major consciousness? It is always in the navel. Manipuraka. So whenever you have a strong emotion or a shock, you remember the Manipuraka activates. Either you fight or you flight. You run away. That is Arjuna Vishada Yoga. So majority of us are stationed in the navel center. So this awareness Hatha Yoga gives us. And we should learn it. Don't you understand the importance of it when you are eating food? And if you are really hungry, then your Mooladhara gets activated. And if you don't take your food and keep your consciousness in Mooladhara when you are hungry, what happens? The Mooladhara gets opened and the Kundalini goes up. That is why you fast. That is the science behind fasting. Are you fasting in that way? Do you understand what you are supposed to do when you are fasting? All this are in those two chapters which I have eliminated. But I have given it in the slides. Hatha Yoga and Raja Yoga, he has mentioned all these things, what I am now telling you. He said it as a psychological and physiological activation of the body. That is the word Sri Aurobindo used. So fasting is one of the best techniques to raise your Kundalini. And if you don't raise your Kundalini, what happens? Even though you have a perfect body and a perfect vital body, it cannot work 100% efficiently. Only when the Kundalini is risen, these two perfect bodies can work 100% active. That is why it is essential. That is why he has said. And he said, do this. Asana is used in Raja Yoga only in its easiest and most natural position, that naturally taken by the body when seated and gathered together. Samankaya shiro grivam dharayan nachalam sthira. Then what should you do? Samprekshya nasikagram swam. See your nose. Why nose? Because nose is the jnanendriya of Mooladhara. Mooladhara is at the principle. And what is the Jnanendriya of earth? Smell. So you go to the basic. Then what happens? From Muladhara you automatically go to the Svadhisthana. And already you are in by your nature in navel center. Therefore, when you sit like this, what happens? The two lower perfected bodies jump into anahata. And that is where the unity consciousness lies. That is where the love consciousness lies. So just by sitting like this, you can go there if you know the theory. That is why I said you read first. What is the use in just sitting like that? It is just like the advertisement. The child doctor, she is not a doctor, she is a child doctor, the daughter of a doctor. She puts the stethoscope and puts like that and prescribes glycodin, because her father prescribes glycodin. We are doing these sadhanas like that, like the daughter, because we don't have the knowledge aspect of Hatha Yoga and Raja Yoga. Now we go to Samadhi. Reverse. We are going in the reverse way. And am I clear why it is in the reverse way? You will be able to understand the knowledge aspect clearly. Now you have a knowledge of Hatha Yoga. You understand it? What is the knowledge of Hatha Yoga? Purification of the physical body and the vital body. And what is Raja Yoga? Purification of the mental body. And how do we do it? By Nishkama Karma. By equality. By Yoga Karma Sukausalam. But that is not enough. You have to be ego-less state. You have to annihilate the ego. How can you do it? By Samadhi. See what happens. Just wait, wait, wait. Here, we have a very beautiful three-lettered word. A-U-Ma. Om. And actually, if you are Om, you are practicing integral yoga. You try to understand what I am telling. If you understand Om, and if you are practicing Om, you are practicing integral yoga. Why? Jagrat, the material universe, Annamaya Purusha and Annamaya plane, Annamaya world also, material world also. Svapna, our vital body and the vital plane. And Sushupti, the supramental plane. These divisions of Omkar you try to understand. When you say Aksharanam Akarosmi, that is what Lord Krishna says. And whenever Sri Aurobindo mentions about Krishna, you remember he is talking about the overmind or the maya of the overmind. Because the separative attitude can exist only until the overmind level. And after that you come to the supramental truth level where there is no separateness. So when you say the material universe is conquered. This you remember. When you split open an atom, what does the atomic energy do? It engulfs you for a long vistas of place. So this sound atom must be split. We are not splitting the atom. We are just chanting it mechanically. We are playing with a toy. But if you can energize the sound, and ma. And the energization of this ma happens in samadhi. And once it is energized, you know atomic energy cannot be controlled. You cannot control it by any physical or chemical means. What you can do is, you can put what you call protectors. That it goes on evolving the X-rays and the rays of the nuclear rays. You can't stop it. So what we do? We need a protector. Our protectors now are our ignorance of the real powers of the three layers.
We are not aware of the A and the Annamaya Purusha, of the U and the Pranamaya Purusha, and the Ma and the Sushupta. Because they have a large knowledge compressed in those three letters. And many people ask me, how is it possible? When I say you are a MA, is it not a 18-year-old knowledge compressed in these two letters? When I say MA, you understand that he has studied it for 18 years, starting from LKG. That is where I am counting on. 10 years, and then 2 years intermediate, 12 years, then 3 years degree, 15 years, then 2 years post-graduation, 17 years. So these two letters show that you have in you a compressed knowledge of 17 hard worked years. Then why can't A, U, Ma compress the forces of evolution of the Annamaya plane and the vital plane and the Manomaya plane? But you have to understand it. How to do it? Next slide. Samadhi or yogic trance retires to increasing depth according to it, draws farther and farther away from the normal waking state. This is what you are supposed to practice. And this samadhi is also known as yoga nidra in some schools of yoga. And probably yoga nidra is a better word because it is linked with nidra. And now let me tell you once again, when we are talking about the Jagrata Avastha, we are utilizing the Annamaya and Pranamaya koshas. When you are in the dream state, you are utilizing your Manomaya kosha. And when you are in the sleep state, you are utilizing the Vijnanamaya and Anamandaya koshas together. That is why the sleep state known as the Karana Sharira, the causal plane, which is the cause of all these planes. The truth consciousness, the Vijnanamaya kosha, is the cause of all these lower planes. But why we don't record anything? Because we have not developed a Vijnanamaya Purusha. Just as we have developed a Annamaya Purusha, a Pranamaya Purusha, the nervous system, a Manomaya Purusha, of a very low cadre, the brain. Brain is linked with mind. Therefore, we are able to understand the Jagratavastha and the Svapnavastha. But because we don't have a Vijnanamaya Purusha, the entire reason for Sri Aurobindo's integral yoga is the development of the Vijnanamaya Purusha. How to do it? Start with Samadhi. What does it mean? If you can understand Yoga Nidra, and if you can understand your dream state, you enter into the supramental levels. That is the secret Samadhi gives us. And those who have reached the Samadhi have blasted the Shabda Brahman. Therefore, their samadhis are always active. That is why we go to the samadhis. And that is why the relics are so important. It is a part of that bomb blast giving you those vibrations. But I sit there and I don't feel any vibrations. You go into the trance and then say you don't feel it. In your wakeful state, and that is why I say you meditate there, where the relics are kept. And for that meditation, depth according as it draws farther and farther away from the normal or waking state and enters the degrees of consciousness which are less and less communicable to the waking mind. So what you get there, they can't be communicated to the wakeful mind because you have not purified ourselves properly. Next. The greatest value of dream state of samadhi lies, however, not in these more outward things, but in its power to open up
the easily higher ranges and powers of thought, emotion and will, by which the soul grows in height, range and self-mastery, and this is the real technique of meditation. This is what should happen if you are meditating properly. The bomb must blast. And what should happen? A pathway must be broke open so that the soul can grow in height, range and self-mastery. Now you understand samadhi? Samadhi is a state of meditation. Next. In integral yoga, it is the psychic being which has to become the master of its samadhi. You now understand what samadhi is? Samadhi is the sleep state for us now. We are not able to understand the illumined mind and the intuned mind and the over mind. But when you practice the trance state, the psychic being, which is the inner being, comes into the front. And this Chaitya Purusha now dominates our daily life. Our external being, outer being, is now dominating. Now what happens when you practice this samadhi? The psychic being comes to the forefront. And once he comes into the forefront, how you are supposed to surrender is his headache and not ours. And then only the divine takes over the sadhana aspect. Till then, you have to do that. You have to practice the hatha, rajayoga and samadhi things. Now you start from the first, the object of knowledge. Start with the yoga. Now, till yesterday we were talking about the yoga of works. And not only yoga of works, there is an adjective there, divine works. For divine works, we have four qualifications. What are those qualifications? The first is nishkama karma. The work must be done without any desire. Next is, you should have an equanimity. That means you are not interested in the result. You are not affected by the result. Whatever may be the result, your quality of action will not change. And third is, you should be an expert in that particular field of activity. And with all that, the fourth condition is, the ego must not be there. And that is the most difficult aspect, because we are so much habituated to it. These four come in a different way in this yoga. See how it comes. First is the object of knowledge. What is the object of knowledge? With the knowledge you already have, you have to go to a newer vistas of knowledge or higher knowledge. Can you understand the difference between these two? Newer vistas of knowledge is a lateral expansion. Higher vistas means ascending levels of consciousness. So the object of yoga of knowledge is two. One is expansion of your knowledge and the other is ascension of your knowledge. That is what he meant by the suprasensuous and supramental means and faculties. Next. Now, to understand the real knowledge, you should attain a state of nirvana. And when we say a state of nirvana, don't think we are using a Buddhist word. We are trying to use a level of consciousness where for you the world does not exist. What is known as the nihil, a nothingness. It is not nothing, it is a nothingness. And we use it as samadhi. Next. Action is permissible only in the first stages of the search in order to purify the seeker. And now, the difference between the karma yoga and jnana yoga is, in karma yoga, you do works with a particular state of mind. But in jnana yoga, you are not supposed to work at all. You are not permitted to work. You are just a silent watcher of your own thoughts
where after some time even the thoughts also go. This is the object and aim to which you should go. Clear? No difficulty? Next. The pure Jnana Yoga comes by the intellect, although it ends in the transcendence of the intellect and its workings. So with intellect we sit and say, yes, I am looking at the thoughts, I am looking at the thoughts, this thought is egoistic, this is, I am not supposed to think, this is not in tune with what I have read and the theory, and you go on thinking, you are utilizing the thoughts. But actually what should happen is, you should transcend the thoughts. And when you transcend the thought, because you don't have the Vijnanamaya Kosha, or the Vijnanamaya Purusha, you go into nothingness. But in that nothingness, slowly the Vijnanamaya Purusha forms its nucleus, even though you are not aware of it. Next. Thought is not perfect in our bodies. We are not able to think correctly. Right knowledge is not yet for us. Truth consciousness is not yet for us. Therefore, any thought that comes to you, even though you may feel that it is something very great and magnificent, be careful that it is still of a lower nature. You may receive some many orders or divinations. The world is full of so many proclaimed prophets because they don't understand the true nature of thought. Next. Yeah, back. Now, these things which we are seeing, this is very, very important. When I say these things, I mean these things. This one. Or a part of the saliva coming out of my mouth. Anything is a language, a notation, a hieroglyph, and a system of symbols, not themselves the deepest, truest sense of the things they intimate, but they intimate something truth, because everything comes from the truth conscious. This is the basis of the yoga of knowledge. Whatever you see must have a basis in the truth conscious, even though you are not aware of it, because it is a language, a notation, a hieroglyphic, a system of symbols, not themselves the deepest, truest sense of the things they intimate. This background, a table. My Guruji used to tell about the shoes. He says, the world has four levels. Para Pashyanti, Madhyama Vaikhari. You know about these things? He used to say that the shoe I am wearing is my shoe. That is Vaikhari shoe. The shoes I see there are Madhyama. That means I can remove this shoe and wear that shoe. Is it not? That is Madhyama shoe. Pashyanti shoe, I can imagine in the Bata shoe room the shoe was like that. In the Greek culture, they used to wear shoes like that. In future, maybe, we may have something like that shoe which works like a helicopter, so that the transportation may become easy. It may happen, is it not? The future one, the Pashyanti. And then, what is the principle? The para level is protection of the feet. The four levels. So, if a shoe can have a four levels, your body also must be having four levels, and why can't you understand and try it? That is what this statement is in Jnana Yoga. You try to understand the four levels. Next. This, wherever you find discolored slide, concentrate on it. The liberated knower. A liberated knower is one who is in the samadhi state. He is liberated from the three lower principles, acts in the world not less than the bound soul. Now, this is where the real problem comes. Many people give marks by the actions they see in the sadhu. Do you know he has not taken food since 12 years? And I think it stone also does not take any food. So our criterion of testing a man is something external. But how a doctor or a scientist also eats food, may go to a movie. But just because he is going to a movie or going to a picture or going to a party or eating something else which you don't eat, does not make you a doctor if you follow those external actions. Am I clear? You are not supposed to follow the external actions. You follow the internal knowledge of a doctor or a scientist. And a doctor is a doctor even when he is eating food, even when he is sleeping, even when he is a doctor. Similarly, a yogi is a yogi whether he is sarvakrut, doing all actions, or not doing all actions. It is his yoga of knowledge. The yoga means level, higher level of evolution he has attained through knowledge. Next. The status of knowledge. Next. The status of knowledge is a true pronged. One is the outer being knowledge, the knowledge we gather from the five senses, and then when it tries to turn the eye inwards. So all yoga is not looking outward. All yoga is the eye going inward. So you understand now this point? Our status is inward looking, not outward looking, even though we may be living in the outward world as others are. Next. The modes of being except in the light of the self. Now we have read about the modes of the nature, sattva, raja and tama. I think you all understood. You should respond, if not I will jump. If you understand it, I will jump. Similarly, you have a modes of the being, what is known as the Chara Purusha, the Achara Purusha and the Purushottama. I will come to it later, but you remember this. The Chara Purusha is tamasic in nature, the Achara Purusha is rajasic in nature, and the Purushottama is sattvic in nature. You just put it like that. Later when you read these lines at peace, not in a hurry, you will understand these realizations between the modes of nature, sattva, raja and tamas, and the modes of being, chara, achara and Purushottama. Next. Next. Now this is a very important part. I told you about the purification. Before you can enter into the purification of understanding, and when I say the word understanding, it almost means that you are almost about to merge in the supramental consciousness. That is the word understanding means, buddhi. And buddhi again is of two types. Show the slides. Now, your intelligence, before it can receive something, before it can understand something, first there must be one of preparation. If you want to understand chemistry, you should know the chemical language. If you want to understand physics, you should know the language of physics. Similarly, if you want to understand the Vijnanamaya Kosha Purusha being formed, the descent of the supermind, you should have the preparation of this language of the three yogas. You should know what is Raja Yoga in its fullest details. You should know Hatha Yoga in its fullest details. Just as I told you, fasting can help you to expand your Kundalini only if you can concentrate on the Mooladhara in fasting, because when you fast you are hungry, and hunger is a quality of Annamaya Kosha. And if you fast and create hunger and you don't fulfill that urge goes up. That is the one of the real meanings of sadhana. That is what I mean by preparation. You should read and understand all these things. And all these things which I am telling to you are there in this book. probably the order of the presentation is changing, but not even the word syntax also. I use the same word as Sri Aurobindo is using. And now, when you are prepared and those same words are used, you are illumined. We are prepared to understand this by understanding the language of the Vijnanamaya Kosha preparation. Am I clear? And now we are reading it. What will happen? The illumination comes. In a classroom, with a prepared mind, we sit quietly. When the teacher speaks, using the words of the preparation, the knowledge is illumined in your brain. Is it not? So this book is the teacher. That is why we always say that book is the teacher. Sad Grandha is the guru. The Veda is the guru. The Gita is the guru. The Bible is the guru. The Quran is the guru. If you are properly prepared, it will illumine you. Next. A unpurified heart, an unpurified sense, an unpurified life confuse the understanding. That is where the purification is a must. You just can't say, I go directly to the point. You have to purify your heart, your senses, your life. If not, your understanding will be confused. Next. By the term Buddhi, Sri Aurobindo translates it as an understanding, but he says that it is not a true translation. Because he couldn't get a better word, he is using instead of Buddhi, understanding. So this is, there are two types of Buddhis. One is the higher Buddhi, which has all the knowledge, also a knowledge which includes the future. The higher Buddhi, that is where the gurus can tell you that the future is imminent. Be prepared for it. And if our higher Buddhi is prepared, the future descends in you. And of course the lower Buddhi, the rational, logical mind. Next. Now, our Buddhi, now you try to understand, technically, overmind. Of overmind also, and it can be illumined by the supermind. Therefore, it can have the future knowledge also. So now what happens here? Our understanding has three problems. First is the desires. You understand properly that you should not copy in the examination. Everybody knows it. But your desire to get more marks, you understand, the understanding has gone to dogs. Next problem, illusion of the senses. This is what in Gita he says about the rajasic aspects. In the beginning they are like amruta, but in parinama they are poisons. That is a problem. Like smoking, like tea, or etc., etc. The illusion of the senses that you are drinking tea because you want to feel fresh. You can feel fresh by going into air also, fresh air. You need not smoke. But your understanding is clouded. And you give a cause which is not the real cause, is the sense mind which clouds your understanding. So first is the desire, and the second is the sense mind, or the mind which justifies your actions. Next. The third cause is improper action of will. We just don't know what we should do and what we should not do. Next. In a complete silence only is the silence heard. One is the smallest and one is the capitalist. Maunam vyakhya prakatita parabrahma tattvam. That is the law. You can understand the parabrahma, the brahma in action and Brahma as the witness, only in silence. And that silence is a dynamic silence, the silence of samadhi, not the silence of sleep. And that is the silence, and that silence gives you shanti, peace. Next, concentration. Purity and concentration, this is what I have already explained to you. The pure matter of mind has to be molded as a Vijnanamaya Purusha, which has not yet been evolved. We don't have it. That is our goal. I gave you the example of the new instrument in iron being molded through a purified iron, molten iron. Am I clear about it? Are all of you understanding? So this is the purity. The purity of understanding, then the three impurifications I have already given you in the previous slides. You remove them, and then what you are supposed to do? You concentrate. The mold, the akara of the Vijnanamaya Purusha. And how do you get the Vijnanamaya Purusha's mold? That will be the tomorrow's class. The yoga of perfection. The mold in which you have to put the samadhi, thoughtless state. Next. The concentration has these three steps to know. And the concentration can be utilized for the acquisition of that which is still ungrasped. And the concentration can become whatever we choose. And I am talking about this becoming factor of concentration. You understand becoming factor of? You become that. You become the mold. You become the Vijnanamaya Purusha. So above the Chaitya Purusha, who is three in one, is the Vijnanamaya Purusha, of which we are not yet aware, but nature is aware. And now when you are practicing the third factor of concentration, and these three factors in Raja Yoga are known as Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. And many people tell me they can't understand what Dharana is. Let me give you an example. When you are in a movie, a very good movie, you are sitting in the chair, the movie has yet not started. But what happened? Pratyahara has happened. Pratyahara means your senses are drawn inwards, ready to see the movie. Right? Pratyahara has happened. Now what is Dharana? You are ready to see the movie. The newsreel is going on, or some advertisement is going on. You are aware and you are prepared to see, but still you are not interested. You are not interested in the advertisements and this and that. But internally, you are ready to see. That is Dharana. Then what happens? Slowly, you start seeing the movie. In the initial stages of the movie, you know that you are seeing the movie. You are aware that you are seeing the movie, and the movie is there. And almost unconsciously, you are aware also of some of other sources sitting around me and seeing the movie. But after some time, you are involved in the movie. You forget that you are there. That is why I said, if it is an interesting movie. If it is not an interesting movie, you will be only in the Dharana state. But you understand all these three? Dharana, preparation. Dhyana, you are there, but your consciousness is there. But you are aware that you are there. You are acquiring it. The acquisition factor is, you are there and you are acquiring the knowledge. And after some time you are not there. Only that is there. The movie is there. If you can do that to a movie, why can't you do it to the ideal of perfection? Then what does it mean? You should have a very clear-cut flow of thought about perfection. Then only you can have a dhyana on perfection. Is it not? So that is what we are going to read tomorrow. We'll have a continuous flow of the mold, how your mind is to be molded, to become a mold for the supramental consciousness. But now what we are trying to do? We are molding the mind through these three states of concentration. And these three states, when you are perfect enough and do it immediately and instantaneously, is known as Sanyamana in Patanjali Yoga Sutras. Trayameka Sanyamana. These three. Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi together make Sanyamana. And for the Chaitya Purusha becoming silent for the lower three and just awaiting for the incoming Vijnanamaya Purusha is the real Sanyamana. Now you understand how yoga is to be practiced? For any yoga, for any evolution, first you have a preparation. Then you share an opening that you want to receive it. Then what should you become? You should become that. When these three happen instantaneously, it is Sanyamana. Next. The same thing. The Raja Yoga concentration, what I have explained to you. Next. Now, he has utilizing the waking soul, the dream soul and the sleep soul. And you remember the word soul is beyond psychic being. You remember that. Soul is the interlink between the jivatma, which never manifests down, and a soul which manifests but does not take part in the activities, which is a silent watcher. And the psychic, he partakes all. So this is what he is talking about. You should be aware of that part of the unmanifested spark which is beyond the psychic being but still is in this world. Next. Now these type of concentrations where you use the logical mind to achieve, to know, to exercise and to become that. That is vitarka. You want to become a doctor. You hear the messages from the teachers and this and this, the lectures. You exercise the knowledge. And then what you become? You become the doctor. But by tarka, step by step. But here in vichara, the time gap is very much limited. This is savitarka and this is savichara. This is the lower mind and this is the higher mind. These planes you should understand, where logic is involved, it is lower. Where understanding is involved, it is vichara. Next. 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 Renunciation. Now, next. Wait. I told you about purification and concentration, all of you understood? What is purification? Where the unwanted things are removed in your thoughts, because we are talking about Jnana Yoga. And then you concentrate, you are forming a mold. When the mold is there and the mold has crystallized, what will you do? You remove, you renounce the unwanted things. The same thing you have to do here also. After purity and concentration, you have to renounce the unwanted parts of the mold. What we can say when a building is being built, the scaffoldings. You need them. Instead of that, you can't build it. But once you have built, you have to renounce it. If not, you are coming in and out, becomes a problem. And this is where many of the sadhakas fail. Because they can't renounce. What they were practicing all these days as a mold becomes their inhibition. You are supposed to be at ease with renouncing also as you are at ease with concentration. And this is the fifth chapter of Gita, Karma Sannyasa Yoga. Next. Basically, purification and concentration is the right arm. And renunciation is The left term, what do you mean by left? Even in the use of the words, the genius of truth consciousness. He says renunciation is the left term, what we have to leave. Next. You understand, renunciation is not a discipline. It is a definite and final end of a sadhana. Previously, next chapter, next you go. For this sadhaka of an integral yoga, none of these reasons are valid. What does Sri Aurobindo mean by this is, to reach the Vijnanamaya Purusha building, am I able to understand you? The moulding of the Vijnanamaya Purusha, just as the moulding of the psychic being and the pranamaya and manomaya, annamaya purushas, you are moulding, and what you are supposed to do? You have to renounce. But here in sadhaka of integral yoga, you don't renounce. You come back again. When you go to the Vijnanamaya Purusha, when that is moulded, you don't reject and say and go into the samadhi forever or get liberation from jivan mukti or whatever it is called. You don't renounce completely. You still keep your hold on the lower four, the psychic being and the three in one, and they become the tools of further evolution. Next. That is why ours is an inward renunciation which cannot be seen outward. So don't judge any man by his physical actions, he has renounced or not. And the greatest sannyasi is Lord Sri Krishna, and nobody says he is a sannyasi. So that's that. Next. It will be seen that the scope we give to the idea of renunciation is different from the meaning currently attached to it. Self-evident. Next. The synthesis of the disciplines of the knowledge. The disciplines of the knowledge are all these five I have talked about. The Hatha Yoga, the Raja Yoga, the Karma Yoga, the Bhakti Yoga, and the Jnana Yoga. And you have understood also how you have to synthesize it. You have to purify all these bodies by all these yogas. You have to concentrate, and then you have to renounce. Next. Just go on. Path of devotion, path of works. Now, this is where you have the change of consciousness. The soul identifies itself with this mental dynamo of station and says, I am this mind. And since the mind is absorbed in the bodily life, it thinks I am a mind in a living body, or still more commonly, I am a body which lives and thinks, but it never understands that a power utilizes it which is higher than its ego. So you have to renounce the ego. That is the inward renunciation. Next. 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 The title itself is self-evident. Go to the next chapter. Wait. The stigma. The stigma of death is animalistic in nature. If you are dying, it means that there is an animal nature in you. If you can renounce the animal nature, your physical body becomes immortal. That is the clue given by Sri Aurobindo. See what he clearly shows? Thrown away it must be and entirely. The fear of death and the aversion to bodily cessation or the stigma left by his animal origin on the human being. It is a negative mark on the human consciousness that you are going to die. In one of the books, The Greatest Adventure, Death the Greatest Adventure, written by Maharshi Jwalakul, he says, we die because we are habituated to die. It has become a habit. And just as even though you don't want to smoke, you smoke. Even though you don't want to die, you die. Garuda Purana is the authority. Next. very clear. We have talked about it. The desires must go, the kama manas must go, and the thoughts must go, where you will go to samadhi. I have come from the back side, from the back door. I told you first about samadhi, and the samadhi happens when you leave these things. Next chapter. Release from ego. Since 3 days I am talking about ego, probably with more egoism. So that you understand, the ego must be only a tool, but not a peg to hang your desires and dislikes. If you can understand that, that becomes easy. The ego must become a tool, but what is happening? It becomes a peg on which we hang our desires, thoughts, likes and dislikes. So you should be, the peg, if you can remove it from the, you can't hang it. No more you can hang your desires and thoughts on it, because there is no peg there. That is samadhi. Next. Wait. Important. The formation of a mental and vital ego tied the body, understand this, the stigma of death is related to this slide. You can later study it in detail. This is page 346 of Synthesis of Yoga. And the stigma of death, page number? You cross page. 349. You correlate these two pages, 349 and 356. You can understand it, what I am talking about, the peg to be unreleased or taken out from the wall. The formation of a mental and vital ego tied to the body sense was the first great labor of the cosmic life in its progressive evolution. The development of this body consciousness was a must a few millennia years ago, so the body has evolved. It is not now necessary as a peg. For this was the means it found for creating out of matter a conscious individual. The dissolution of this limiting ego is the one condition, the necessary means for this very cosmic life to arrive at its divine fruition. Just as I was told about the removal of the scaffolding, the ego was necessary to build the Annamaya Purusha, the Pranamaya Purusha and the Manomaya Purusha. But now the ego is not required. You remove the ego and then the psychic being can come forward from the house it is thrown inward and dominate the external life. Next. The realization of the cosmic self. Next slide. Next. This is the important point of understanding the cosmic consciousness. Spirit and material existence are highest and the lowest rung of an ordinary and progressive series. This is what you have to be continuously aware of. You should be aware that the highest point is the spirit, the lowest point is the matter, but matter and spirit are a continuity of consciousness. Here, we don't have a continuity of consciousness. We have a break in consciousness. The waking state broken by a dream state, the dream state broken by a sleep state, or the Annamaya Pranamaya consciousness broken by mind, Manomaya state, or the Manomaya state broken by the Vijnanamaya and Anandamaya state. And once you can make a continuity of this consciousness, you will have the cosmic consciousness. You understand what I mean? Next. The image of ether, this is a wonderful sadhana if you can understand it. And for your understanding, you should be free from the three hindrances I have told you. The three faults of understanding in the previous slide. So the image of ether, and when Sri Aurobindo talks about ether, he means the space. Not physical, but an encompassing akasha of vast being, consciousness and bliss. he may seek to see with the mind and to feel in his mental being this supreme existence and to identify it in oneness with the self within him. So you have to feel the expansion of the akasha. Got the point? That is the meditation. And the next meditation is much more wonderful. Next. What happens when you are seeing the akasha? What you are seeing? What is akasha? That which is between you and me. This is the akasha. And if you can just imagine the akasha of the entire cosmos, can you do it? Is it difficult? The akasha is in this room, what is known as the ghat akasha, in our technical Vedantic language. And now you just go a bit ahead, close your eyes and see the antariksha. You are alone in the planet Earth and the akasha is there. You can do it. You understood the point of it? If you can do it, what happens? Upon that change of seeing, as it becomes more and more potent and insistent and occupies all our consciousness, there will supervene eventually a change of becoming so that what we see, we become. This is simply a trick of change in consciousness. We are seeing the akasha alone on the planet Earth. We are seeing the akasha, akasha, akasha. Suddenly what happens? Your consciousness jumps into it. Just as your consciousness jumps into the flow of the cinema. You are not aware of your body. Your consciousness when you are seeing the cinema, is it not? Similarly, when you go on practicing this, you become the akasha. And what is akasha? It is the bliss seat. The Anandamaya Kosha. Chidakasha. Mathakasha and Chidakasha. But you have to practice it. It is not the name that is important, the experience which is important. Next. Self-knowledge and world knowledge. What I am telling? You are in the planet Earth. I am on the planet Earth. The self-knowledge. And then the world knowledge. Next. The modes of the self, I have told you, the mutable, the immutable, and the Purushottama. The mutable is the psychic being, the soul is the immutable being, and the Jivatma is the Purushottama. The realization of Satchidananda. The realization of Satchidananda is nothing but the realization and synthesis of the yoga of work, the yoga of devotion and the yoga of knowledge. The yoga of knowledge leads you to chit. The yoga of bhakti leads you to ananda. And what remains? Karma. That is existence proper. So the yoga of karma is sat, leads you to the sat. That is where the asana and hatha yoga are also important. You will read it in that chapter. Sri Aurobindo has written it. Even through body also you can go to the existence, sat. And then chit, mind consciousness. And ananda, bliss consciousness. But not your personal sat chit ananda. Not your personal. The capital, yes. The capital C and the capital A. Because what we are now understanding is the egoic understanding, your understanding. And that differs from man to man. But this cannot differ. This realization comes when you practice these three yogas as the integral yoga of perfection, which we will do tomorrow. Next. The difficulties of the mental being. Niskama karma is the first difficulty. To say it is very easy. then equality is much more difficult. And having known karma and being equal, to work as if you are an expert in it is much more difficult. And the greatest difficulty is the ego of the mind. The passive Brahman is the soul, and the active Brahman is the egoless existence of the psychic being. You understand the difference? You are only a witness conscious, you are only a watcher. That is a static Brahman, a passive Brahman. But when the Brahman works through the psychic, manomaya, pranamaya and annamaya purusha without the ego, it becomes an active Brahman. Next. No waiting. Cosmic consciousness, just I gave you the exercise where from Ghatakasha to Chidakasha you take the gem and you see this self from that side. That becomes the cosmic consciousness. Next. Oneness, the next step, the link between the self consciousness and the cosmic consciousness and you. When these three fuse, you become one. I'm not really talking about it because even however much we talk about it, it will always be the egoic aspect of it. You cannot understand what actually the cosmic consciousness is. That is why I'm not jumping. I'm not jumping because those words can convey a meaning only when you have an experience of the supramental descent, at least partially, not continuously. And that we will get in Bhakti Yoga. The partial descent will come in Bhakti Yoga. Let us see how it comes. Go to Bhakti Yoga. This over. It's this long. Let them see the slides at least, so that I can say I have shown you everything. Next. Slow. Soul and little very right. Soul and little liberation, you are understanding? Psychic being is the Acharapurusha liberation. You have to go to the Acharapurusha liberation also. So that Jivatma which is beyond manifestation comes into manifestation but does not take part is the soul. But you have to be liberated from that soul also. Next. And it is very interesting. Plane of existence. Just one slide we will show. Plane of existence. Helps in evolution. It helps. Because of your psychic being and other three beings are molded because of the soul, not because of the Jivatma. The soul molds them and renounces it to the lower levels. And happens a silent watcher there. Psychic being is involved. Now as a inner being, in integral yoga as the outer being again when he comes forward, but later the soul must control the psychic being. Very necessary. Liberation for Purushottama is also necessary, but that is a later evolution. Probably again Sri Aurobindo will come after a few millennium of years and he will decide the yoga for being liberated from Purushottama. You have to. If you have to go beyond mind to supermind, naturally after supermind you have to go beyond. And naturally you already know it. It is eternal, but the evolution is continuous. Always. If it is not there, it is not an infinity. However great it is. And we remember that is the ego mind which is thinking all these things. You be careful about this. What we are talking about is nothing psychic in it and nothing soul or jivatma there. It is the ego trying to understand it. And this is our, the Upanishads. You have the answer here. The Upanishads, just put the various place next slide. This is mind, life and matter on one side, the Satchidananda on the other side, and the link principle, the Vijnana, in between. These are the seven planes of matter. We are now in the mind, trying to link the supermind, Vijnanamaya Kosha, and naturally, after the Vijnanamaya Kosha, the Satchidananda is there. Next. Though he has written about it, I am not talking about it, because they are simple words. Whatever it is, we put a capital S there. But we don't know the difference between a self with small s and a self with a capital S. Except we know that it is a big S. Next. Now go to the Bhakti Yoga. Next slide. This is what Mother says about devotion. You have but to become. It is the laziness to become that makes one worship. What do you mean by worshipping? You become it. Huh? You know, the words of Mother are so dangerous. You say I am worshipping, you are lazy. It is the tamasic being in you which is worshipping. I do not want a religion, an end to religion. And we are going to read Bhakti Yoga. Anyway, we will go it fast. Because it is a necessary part of the yoga. We need it also, even though there is a duality there. Next. The love and the triple path. Just as there are the three paths of will, knowledge and love, there are also three modes of worshipping. You have the ritual part of the worship, the Kriya, what we know as the Panchopacharas, Shodashopacharas. And then you have the becoming part of the devotion, where you merge with the consciousness which you love. That is heart, Bhakti Yoga. And then you know the logic of Upasana, the rationale of Upasana, that is the knowledge. So even in the Bhakti Yoga, you have the three, the Karma Kanda without understanding the rationale. Karma Kanda with understanding the rationale means Jnana Yoga of worship with Karma Yoga of worship. And now when you unite, the union gives the love, the Ananda, that is Bhakti Yoga of works. Bhakti Yoga of devotion. So again in devotion you have these three. The Karma Kanda, the Jnana Kanda, and the unification of these two, Bhakti Kanda. Next. just back. Sarvam Karmakhilam Jnane Parisamapyate. So this yoga of devotion is a merger of works and knowledge. Am I clear about it? In devotion, you are offering a puja, that is Karma Kanda. You have a rationale for doing the puja, that is Jnana Kanda. And through this Karma Kanda and the Jnana Kanda, you merge into the God, that is Bhakti, devotion. But Sri Aurobindo warns that in the end it is the knowledge which is important. So the devotion is a temporary scaffolding so that you can grow, your consciousness can grow into the various consciousness of the devatas, a Kali, you grow into the level of Kali. And remember that to whomsoever divinity you pray, you reach overmind. The gods are all in the overmind. So in that way, the yoga of devotion, Bhakti Yoga, becomes very important tool to reach overmind. But again, if you want to reach the supermind, it will not help. Sarvam karmam karmakhilam jnane parisamapyate. In the knowledge, in the integral knowledge, everything is merged. But do you understand the importance of devotion? Because if you can catch one level of overmind. That is exactly what Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's life gives you a proof. If once you reach the overmind after years of sadhana, he reached the overmind of Kali. Then what could he do? All other gods in 3 days. You understand the point? So that is the importance of Bhakti Yoga.
Next.
Right. But if you have so many tools to grow, let us use them. That is integration. Next. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. So it is the knowledge in the end which is important, because it is the mind which is supposed to grow till over mind, and after that the mind goes. What comes? Understanding comes, vijnana comes. You should know the difference between vijnana and mind. The mind is stilled completely. Next. Integral yoga may commence with the way of love, that is bhakti yoga, as with way of knowledge or works. This is jnana yoga and this is karma yoga. But where they meet is the beginning of its joy of fulfillment. Love it cannot miss, even if it does not start from it. For love is the crown of works at the flowering of knowledge. As I have told you, the karma kanda and jnana kanda must unite to become a bhakti, that is love. And love is ananda. And actually, let us see, the motives of devotion may be many. Next. When I say the motives of devotion, your Ishta Deva. The motive is your Ishta Deva. Next. The Godward devotions, the Bhagavata says there are 9 levels. You go to the Bhagavata, you have the Shravana, which makes you turn towards Him. Then Kirtana, singing His glories, you are attracted towards Him. Then Smarana, you go on remembering His glory. Then Padasevana, remember, this Padasevana is a state of consciousness in higher mind. There are 7 states of consciousness in higher mind. In one slide I have given that. That is your homework. In the yoga of knowledge, these levels are not physical. They are states of higher mind. Like Sadas, he says, it is a part of higher mind. Gruha, he says, it is a part of higher mind. But Gruha and Sadas for us, Pada, all these are states of higher mind that you remember. You don't try to say the egoistic aspects of surrendering and worshipping the feet of a guru. You may do it as a part of karma yoga. But you should have the knowledge of the reality. And the last, of course, is complete surrender. And this complete surrender is with which we start our first step of integral yoga. Next. Then the tantric sadhana. And you remember, the entire integral yoga is a tantric sadhana. You always remember it. Even though our present egoic connotations, tantra has a negative meaning because of the panchamakaras. But you have to renounce it. You have to renounce that concept, that is the egoic concept, which puts a hurdle in understanding the tantric concept. And in tantric concept, the marriages, especially how Meera married Krishna, if you can understand, you can understand the real spirit of tantra. Next. In Shaktism also, that is in the tantra practice, you go to the next step. where is that Pashu and Veera and Daiva Bhava? This one. So this is where the integral yoga takes only the divine tantric way of growing evolution. It does not take the Pashu Vritti or the Veera Vritti. Veera Vritti is fighting. In surrendering, there is no fighting. But you are surrendering to what? To something divine. So, the three planes of tantric sadhanas, which are linked with Pashu, you don't touch it. They are very dangerous also. Don't go to that. You will sink into the Pashu Vritti, you will become Asurik. Don't go to that. And we don't go to also because we are not at all interested in Panchamakaras. But don't practice it as a Veera Sadhana also. Practice it as a Divya Sadhana where you surrender to the Lord with annihilation of ego, psychic being, and the three lower Purushas. And with all devotion, we come to the conclusion of Divine Yoga. Jai Gurudev. Divine Personality, Kali, Krishna, to whichever personality you are wedded to in the philosophical sense, you go to the overmind. Next, you put the headings because that is how we finish our classroom syllabus. We put the heading and say it is over, but I think you have an integral consciousness enough to integrate what I have told you. So the delight of divine is the personal sadhaka. Having the knowledge of the personality of the God emerges in him. But still it is a personality, but he has a delight in it. Then comes the Anandamaya Kosha. It has to mould itself also after the Vijnanamaya Kosha, Purusha. You should have the Anandamaya Purusha, but they go hand in hand. Just as the Annamaya Purusha and Pranamaya Kosha go hand in hand, later the Vijnanamaya Purusha and the Anandamaya Purusha in the end of integral yoga go hand in hand. And how to achieve perfection is our subject for tomorrow. Jai Gurudev. I had to go a bit fast because I had to finish it. But this is a stress which helps you to grow. But read them. And I have given a homework. And when you put me questions, in the question session I will put questions in the homework also. So before you put a question, beware of it.